Hello and welcome to Jabberjaw. I'm your host, Jessica Dawson Collier, and with me as always is Tyson Wheeler Dynas and Matthew David Smith. Guys, welcome.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Hey,
thanks for that nice welcome.
Yeah, of course. Anytime, every time, every week.
If we're lucky, every week.
If we're lucky, if Zencastr will let us, fucking
yeah,
sorry.
We've had a good run.
We're never gonna get that Zencastr, sponsorship that
so coveted.
Yeah, we want so badly. God, there's like 10. There's
I
like
pray
20
for it every night before I go to sleep.
So funny. There's like 20 alternatives, but this is really so easy when it works right.
It really is so easy, and for the most part, it's not that bad.
Right.
I mean, we can't open up other tabs while we're recording. But,
that's what phones are for, I guess. Or second laptops or, whatever you
want. Right.
I seriously got a stand for that reason to hold my phone. So I didn't have to hold it the whole time.
Interesting. So,
behind the scenes.
Now, do you have one of those? Do you have one of those in your car? Do you have like a little mount, like a phone mount in your car, or do you just like?
We do not anymore because we have CarPlay in the suit.
Yes,
so okay, just plug that bitch in and.
Yeah,
let fancy. It take over. Yeah,
I have it, but I even before that, like I always was just never could go at the mount. I just couldn't. I don't know.
Mine would never stick to the BMW's like dashboard. It just never would stick. And I've tried two or three different types, and it just falls off.
Stick.
And it's like, and I mean, I've really, I didn't buy something super nice, but I think $20 for a phone mount is a lot of money, in my opinion.
I would say
that's the upper tier of phone mounts.
I put it on there, and then I'll be driving it about 2 miles in, I'll just hear this clunk. I'm like, oh whoops, that's not good. That's all right, my car is on its last legs anyway, so it's fine. The air conditioner doesn't work.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. So I took it to the dealership because I had it changed like three times, like the Freon changed like three times, and it would last for like a week. And so the last time I needed it to really work was when I went to see Matt, and I literally got it done the day before I left. And on the drive home, it started wearing off. But anyway, so I took it to the dealership, and they're like, oh, we figured out what's going on. You need to replace this piece. But it's like a little nodule, in the air conditioner. It's some sort of evaporator. And they're like, it's going to be like $3,800 though. And I was like, what? They're like, well, here's the deal. We'll have to take the dash out completely to put it back in. They said, okay, well, let's just not do that right now. And then I called my other mechanic, and he quoted me the same thing. And he said, can I be honest with you? This is a car killer. We'll get that dash off, and when we put it back in, we have no idea how much stuff's going to break because the plastic is old and none of those parts,
Right.
And they were like, just if you can just drive around with, the windows down or I was like, and he was like actively continued to try to convince me not to. I'm like, dude, you're sold. You can stop. It's fine. I'm not going to spend that much money on this car, which is worth less than $2,000 anyway. So, now Beth and I share a car. It's very, earth friendly, I guess. At least during summer. So,
well, that works. Are you going to get a new car eventually?
Maybe? It's tricky, cause of my financial situation. I'd have to go to the court to find out if they would let us buy a car. So no, probably not. If I do need to buy a car, it'll be something for like $800 that has an air conditioner that works.
There you go.
Okay. And maybe an 8-track player.
Now we're talking.
It would be my second car with an 8-track player. So,
That would be your second car? What was your first car with an 8-track?
Ooh, it was like a 83 Buick.
Nice.
It had a
the year
mounted,
I was born.
It had a
That's
mounted,
a good year.
The car actually came with a case of 8-tracks.
Oh my god!
and then because I got it when I was in Waikini after I moved back from Florida, and Dad found it for like $400, which was perfect.
I was just gonna ask how much was it?
Okay, yeah, like, cool. And then what happened was like word got out that I had an 8-track player, and all these people started giving me 8-tracks. Like I had a lot of 8-tracks.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, except it was all 70s music, which you guys know how I feel about.
Yeah, I know how you feel about that.
So, but you know, I did enjoy the part where you could skip to the next song automatically, you know, as opposed to doing it with a cassette. Of course, you know they have nicer cassette players now, or I guess they don't anymore, do they? But
no, they don't. I kind of wish I had one so I could play my very first cassette that I found the other day, Hammer Time by MC Hammer.
Sweet. I actually have a cassette player. I know that surprises
me. Do you really? Oh yeah. My God.
You can buy.
I see you have everything, right? Don't you have a couple of VHS players? And
I have VHS. Yeah, I have two VHS. I have four VHS players.
There it is.
Although, like, I think only
I was like, that number sounds a little low.
But I know that one of them works. Okay. And then I have a cassette player that has a USB out, so I can record stuff to the computer.
Ooh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
It is, and it's only like $30 on Amazon. It's just a little Walkman. You can just plug your headphones into it. Let's do it. And I have an ADAT player. I have a mini disc player. I have basically any media that might have had any kind of Bring Back Joel heroic lane change stuff. I have some way to. I had to get something to record it with. So
right.
So I mean, I bought all these things on the super cheap. You know, now I don't have an ADAT player, but I don't have the ADATs, so that's fine. And
I guess those are pricey too now.
Well, they're not.
How much are they on the eBays?
I don't know. It's been years since I looked because I contacted my friend. We did a whole recording session. We did 18 songs on ADAT. And he's like, I don't know if I have those anymore. I'm like, well, that's fair because it's been like 10 years. So anyway, but ADATs were like VHS players that you could do multi-tracks on. This is essentially what an ADAT player is. So
okay.
Anyway.
Sure. Do you guys still have DVDs or did you throw them out?
No? I have these cases that DJs use for like weddings and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I basically took all the DVDs out of the cases, put them into this thing. So instead of having 5 boxes of DVDs between Beth and myself, I have this tiny little suitcase that has all of our DVDs in it in case I need it. So
you still have a DVD player to play the DVDs. Is that? Oh,
I feel like I have like 10 DVD players somewhere.
I'm kind of jealous of that. Can I have one if it works?
Yeah, fuck yeah. Okay. I kept changing the codecs in the DVD players. And I used to get stuff that, you know, and I would have to update. So it was a lot cheaper to spend $60 on a DVD player with the updated codecs built into it.
I remember those days. Yeah.
Remember that?
No, I do remember that. Yeah.
So I just have a ton of them and they all work. So I don't throw them away. You know, like they, and I think I have, yeah, you can have one. Absolutely. Or you can just go to like Best Buy and get one for like $16 or something like that. Oh, I also have I don't know if you guys remember this, the little cassette tapes they used to put in camcorders, like the little, like,
oh,
they're
big
like
time.
Two inches by 1 inch. And then you had to get a cassette adapter that would, you put the little thing in there and it would.
Yeah,
I got one of those.
Oh, wow.
It's basically like, it's sad, but it's kind of like a museum to dead technology in my basement.
I don't know if you'll remember what this is, but I actually had a PXL 2000 for a little while.
What is that?
It was this little camera that Fisher-Price put out, like as a toy, basically, in like the 90s, like early 90s. And it used like regular cassette tapes, and it would record like awful, awful, awful video quality, like really? 80 pixels by 80 pixels, black and white, but it was like a consumer camcorder for kids for like, you know, $80 or whatever.
You could actually use off the shelf cassette players.
Cassettes. And the funny thing was, is they're actually really collectible. And so like they even like sort of in the late 90s as sort of like grainy video became sort of the, I mean, everybody was doing the grainy video effect thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
People started, professionals started using them because it was way cheaper than actually trying to digitally make that look at the time.
Right.
So just kind of a sorry for that weird aside. But
no, I assume you still have it.
I actually just picked it up from my parents' house when I went back for Christmas.
Very nice.
In December. I think I'm going to hang on to it. It's missing a battery cover. But
I've never even heard of that thing. And I think I feel like I know a lot of.
Yeah, I think it was late 80s. I think it was, it was for the time. It was pretty rad.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Standard, normal, yeah, audio tapes. We could do a lot. We didn't give them the respect that they really deserved. But
I used to use a VCR to record audio tracks on, and then would mix them down.
Yep.
Because the high quality, the audio was, yeah. The audio quality was so much better on VHS tapes than it was on cassette tapes. There was almost no degradation. So that's an old radio trick too. Like Dan used to record all our shows with VHS tapes. Yeah. Yeah. So I was down.
Didn't people like used to like do like the left track, right track thing too, to basically get like a, like to basically, you know, track stuff and then mix that to like the left. I mean, it was a process.
It was. Like I would do a thing where I would like, I would record four tracks on my four-track cassette tape. I would bounce that to the VHS to one track, and then I would do four more tracks and bounce that to the other track on the cassette or on the tape.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing how like necessity makes you learn how to do this stuff because you don't have any options. You know, like now you can record 1,000 tracks on your computer for like $15.
And it's funny because music has gotten 1,000 times better, which is just it's incredible.
To be fair, there's real degradation there, you know, because if anybody can do it, then everyone's doing it.
It's sort of like the thing with like, you know, like filmmaking has gotten so much cheaper in the last 20 years. I mean,
you can shoot an entire film on your iPhone.
Right. Yeah. And so I always thought it was amusing that like, you know, there were all the, you know, my excuse was always, oh, I'll never make a movie because I can't afford it. And no, it's just because I wasn't talented enough. And like, and so like, if it really like, you know, access to music and video, you know, and to like filmmaking was the real issue, like there'd be a lot better media. Not saying that there's not great stuff out there, but it's not a ton more. I don't know.
It's not a lot. I mean, Netflix.
You really had to want it though back in the day. Like had to want it. You know, you'd have to sell your entire comic book collection, Kevin Smith, you know, to make a potentially terrible movie, you know. I had a friend who was is an engineer and he retired. Like he retired like 5 years ago. And he basically said, and he was a very well-regarded engineer. He did all the Get Up Kids stuff and lots of stuff. And he basically just sent out this email and he said, he's like, yeah, I'm going to retire. He's like, you know, nobody needs a studio anymore, really. Everyone can do what I do at home. You know, it may not be as good.
You're kidding. Really? You
know? And he was like, so, you know, I'm going to work for 6 more months. If you want to fly me out, I'd come out and do it with you. You know, he's like, if it's someplace cool, I'll give you a discount. So yeah, he just quit. He was just like, whatever. And he sold his studio and that's it.
That's like the saddest thing I've heard today.
It is sad. It makes me a little depressed. Wow.
I think he was doing fine.
But it's just, you know, it's just unfortunate that it's, I mean, yeah, it's.
Well, he did half of Deep Within. He did some of that. Nice guy. EJ Rose or Ed Rose.
Oh yeah. I recognize the name. Sure.
Yeah, he did like Butter Glory and Get Up Kids and Lynn Beck and a bunch of stuff. Like
he worked a lot for the recording house, don't they, right?
Red House. Co-owned Red House, yeah.
Okay, that's why. Yeah. Kind of a legendary guy in the area.
At least for a while. I don't know. They built some recording studio, like booths and whatnot, in the basement of the new library in Lawrence. And last I knew, he was sort of the manager and, you know, the consulting guy. So like he would help set up, you know, people to come in or, you know, to rent studios. Yeah. I don't, I don't know if he still does it, but you know, that was a really cool thing that they did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, whatever.
Technology. Old technology.
Technology. you know, back to the, I do have a handful of DVDs, but I think I usually just hang on to like any like music documentaries for some reason. Usually because like, or just anything like random and obscure.
No, you're not alone. Literally, yeah, the like, only because Jonas and I threw out all of our DVDs except for a Radiohead DVD that Tyson that I still have of yours. Sorry about that. I'll bring it this summer.
I think I remember you giving that back to him, actually. Like, I think I've been at least a part of this exchange at least once. So, yeah.
I don't think I did. Tyson can tell us right now live, but pretty sure I didn't. But the rest of them are also music docs. So. But now I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, I got to give Tyson this one back and then I can chuck the other ones because a lot of music docs are on Prime now, right?
Yeah.
I keep saying that. Now, it makes me sad.
Are they getting any better about, because one of my, my primary motivation when I was really into like filmmaking and stuff was like for commentary tracks. Because like I like commentary tracks. Time. And so I would buy DVDs because for a while, everybody did a commentary track.
Yeah.
And I love them for that. I don't like, have they?
I feel like they still do though.
They don't you can't really find them very often on like the services though.
Yeah. That's, and that's what I was kind of wondering. Cause right. If they had that stuff, I'd have a whole, for me at least, another reason to rewatch some of these things. So.
Right.
Yeah. I mean like I tend to keep things that I got that are somewhat collectible to me, like, Mystery Science Theater, DVDs or riff tracks or something like that. And stuff I can't find, like News Radio season 1-5. This is impossible to find. I mean, it's on Crackle. Remember Crackle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
but it's not a very good transfer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, I'm looking over, and I have like, The Violent Years and Bat Pussy and a bunch of stuff that Mondo put out, which but again, it's mostly for the 4K transfer, right? I don't even have 4K TV.
Uh-huh.
And for the commentary, which is just interesting, but I would like them to do that. I read an article once where they said that the streaming services would probably be the end of commentary tracks, but I don't know, it seems like there's enough collectors out there,
It seems like it could be a specialized streaming service, perhaps. I haven't looked, but to their Criterion, I have not looked to see if they do that. I would guess if anybody does that, it's Criterion.
That was a big deal back when I was in college. Was collecting Criterion?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Not so much anymore.
I discovered a lot of movies just because they were on Criterion. Like, I think I watched Brazil for the first time just because it was like my buddy had like Brazil on Criterion. I was like, ooh, fancy.
I'm impressed that you did that, Smith, because Jonas and I, because Criterion Collection has their own app now. And we're like, okay, we're going to start watching the entire collection. That was 5 years ago. It's not going to happen.
Well, to be fair, I mean, it's some of the, I mean, I'm with you guys. Like, I was, if it came out on Criterion Collection, it was probably worth watching, right?
Sure.
Some of them were just like, oh boy.
There were some stinkers. Yeah, there were.
Yeah,
some,
it was a struggle.
But stuff like, I think like Buckaroo Banzai, I think was one That's of the kind of one. Out there ones that like I watched because. So yeah, that was an interesting.
This is my wife's second favorite movie, Buckaroo Banzai.
Is it really?
Is I didn't it know really? That. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good one. That and Time Bandits. I'd watch Time Bandits.
That's a good, that's a good one.
Time Bandits. I haven't seen either of those.
What was that guy's name? The guy, the director. Time Bandits.
Gilliam, right?
Gilliam, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Yeah.
Guy who did Brazil.
Yes, same guy. Woo.
Yeah. No, you gotta watch both of those, especially Buckaroo Banzai. It is one weird
ass noted. Movie.
Yeah. And it's got John Lithgow in maybe my favorite role he ever did.
No shit. Okay. I love John.
Peter Weller. It's a strange fucking movie. It's really, but it's super fun.
Yeah.
All right. It's into it. the name alone, I'm already sold.
Banzai and the Adventures in the Fifth Dimension. Is that right?
Close enough.
That's the full title? Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Maybe we'll, I don't know, download the Criterion Collection app again. Just let sit there, collect dust. Virtual dust.
Until you get a DVD player.
Oh, it does make me sad though, because I definitely for a period of time was like, okay, I'm gonna keep these DVDs forever. And like, I loved, you know, like Fight Club and Moulin Rouge in particular. They had all those cool booklets and you know, embossing, and now they're in a landfill somewhere.
No, I left the majority of my collection at my parents' house. I didn't need, like, you know, win a date with the president's daughter. Leave it at my parents' house.
Dave.
But now I'm like, you know, I purchased like 5% of them because, like, either, you know, I was like, oh, this probably isn't out there. My CDs I kept, though. I'm keeping my CDs.
Good for you.
My dad threw my CDs out.
Oh,
it was tragic.
That's a violation of trust.
It is a violation, right?
You should be able to throw your own stuff out.
That's what I was saying. I was like, hey, I wanted the opportunity, but he was like, you know, you got to get this big Tupperware box of shit out of my basement. And I'm like, okay, touche, but maybe give your daughter a call before you start throwing your shit out. The way he did it was funny too. Cause like, he's like, hey, Jess, you might want to take some of the stuff out of the, you know, bin downstairs. So I went down there, I opened it up. And the first thing on top is that, Fort Hayes leader article ties of us on Facebook tips. I was like, well, thank God he didn't throw that out. And then I put that to the side, and then all of the sleeves in my big ass CD hole gone, just like all the CDs. But he left the inserts in there. So I guess I still have them.
I think he sold those CDs is what it sounds like. So?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. I could see a bunch of Hayes weirdos buying that shit.
I one time made a space costume for a space party that I believe was called the Space Party, with a one of those bright silver camping blankets, emergency blankets. And then I made a belt of CDs with the CD outward, and I tied them in rope around my midsection. So you can find uses for CDs, even if you don't listen to them.
I guess. I was going to say coaster, but that's way better.
I also have like 500 copies of Sampo down there on spools. So
now I single-handedly blame AOL for the underappreciation of the CD. I think it's their fault. I think they made them useless. They made them seem useless. And I don't think people throw out cassettes. I don't think people throw out cassettes like they did CDs.
It's so funny, like, you know, because there's certainly the millennials, they like CDs a lot.
Yeah, they do.
Because it's just like, you know, they're like, this is the ultimate way to listen to music. And who am I to say that they're not correct? You know, because, you know.
Same.
You know, I mean, it was a huge breakthrough, you know, at the time.
It was. Oh, absolutely it was.
It was great. Remember when you could get you get that first car that actually has a CD player in it, and then you could get like the CD changer? Nice. I thought I was fucking living the high life for a very long time. And then this past week, one of my friends at work, she, I guess, got a new car only because the CD player in her car went out. I appreciate that, you know.
I had a six disc changer in one of my cars.
Oh, nice.
It was in the trunk, and I was like,
heck yeah.
The problem was I just never changed them.
I used to have the little adapter thing that you'd slide into your cassette player.
Oh yeah,
you had the Discman. You could try to play your Discman in your car. That's why I had that forever. I prefer just making mixtapes. Even when I had CDs, I usually would make mixtapes for my car because it was, you know, how you got an assortment, you know,
for road trips.
Absolutely.
Usually to Lawrence. Yeah.
I can tell you.
Usually to Lawrence.
I can tell you that I used one of those cassette tape adapter things for my iPod.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it works the same way, you know.
Yeah.
That's right. It was the.
I mean, up until like a few years ago, maybe. Well, maybe yeah. Not a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, but still.
I just like discovered my car, our VW has a CD player. I just discovered it like the other day because it's like in the glove box. It's just like, it's a stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. It's like, yeah, I didn't think it had one, and I, you know, it's been years since I've probably, you know, actually I take that back. But no, I was just surprised that, had a CD player.
I was going to ask if that was the car you're going to be driving back this summer, and then I went to, oh, I have so many CDs. No, I don't, that we can play.
I'm sorry. Oh. I'm sorry that happened to you, Dawson. That's
thank you. Thank you for your sympathy.
That's a big.
You hear that, Dad?
I felt like I had to get rid of my CDs. I had like a metric ton of CDs, but partially that was because I worked in radio for so many years. Starting,
I was
going to
say, So you probably inherited a lot of that stuff.
I did, and I also have like I think I probably still have 700 CDs in a box.
Shit!
But I mean, I kept every CD that of every band we played with, every like bootleg, whatever. I have a, you know, they used to make those gold colored CDs, you know, the high fidelity gold color.
Oh yes, yeah.
Which is like, I don't know if that's real or not, but I have one. My friend Alicia gave me one for her birthday once, and it's In Utero by Nirvana. And I went online on Discogs, and it's like there's one for sale for $200. I was like, really?
Wow.
So, So, you know, before you throw out your CDs, I'm sure you didn't lose anything super valuable. Yeah. Sorry.
Now that's where my brain's at, Tyson. I'm like, I kind of sold some of them, made some money.
I shouldn't have said anything. Sorry. I realized as it's coming out of my mouth, I was like, whoa.
You know, my dad does love eBay and he's constantly on it. He probably sold a bunch of them on eBay now that I'm thinking about it. In bulk. My daughter's CD, shitty CD collection, $20.
Did you, so you had the sleeves. Matt, did you have the sleeves? I never had the sleeves. I just couldn't get myself to put stuff in sleeves.
Oh, no, I could not do that. I would not disrespect the disc that much. No, I have, not only do I have the original jewel cases for everything, but I believe they're all the original jewel cases for everything. I was so anal about my CD collection. It was insane. I was an asshole because I would not lend CDs out to people because I knew that that was as good as, like, you might get it back like 40% of the time, and it might be playable, like, you know, 9 times out of 10 out of that. So I did not loan CDs out very often, which was like when copying CDs became a thing, that was just like a total game changer.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
It was great. Just now,
I had this sort of friend, I guess she was an associate, an acquaintance, and she was a friend of Marshall's girlfriend when we first moved to Florida. And she came over and she was like, wow, you have a great CDs collection. And I'm like, yes, I do. It's amazing. And so she's like, can I borrow this? And like, she got a stack of them. And I'm like, yeah, just bring them back. And one of her friends told me that she just went straight to the used CD store and sold all of them.
Oh!
After leaving my house. I was like,
wow, that is cold.
Oh, yeah. That is a bitch move.
That was a tough one because I had all these early, like pavement EPs and shit that she took. And,
no,
oh yeah, it was awful, and I was like,
that's
mean. Boy.
That's pretty nasty.
I don't think I ever actually saw her again. I saw all her other friends, but she never showed up again, which is fine. Yeah, but you know, I learned a lesson, right? Like,
yeah,
if somebody wants to borrow basically 36 hours of music for a couple days to listen to, they don't have time to listen to that much music.
I used to be terrified that like the library would like not think, because the library for the public library had actually a pretty decent CD collection. And so I remember going through a phase of like, you know, checking those out and copying those as quickly as possible. And I was like, right. I think it's weird that I've checked out like 7 or 8 CDs at a time. But Never caught on.
What are they going to do?
I know. I don't know. Call the library, please. Yeah. I don't
know. Lieutenant Bookman.
Look at me disapproving.
We got another one.
Yeah, that copying CDs thing was a game changer.
Yeah, it really was. It was great. Yeah. I loved it. Memories.
Oh, memories.
Sad now.
That was a very strange tangent we went off on today.
It was, but that's all right. Old media. Old media. I think it's the reality of the world around us, and we're just all harkening back to a better time. And right. We need to talk about cassettes to momentarily take us back to that time. I think so.
So let's talk about going to fencing classes and fucking making things out of glass. Amazing.
Yeah, I'm going through my third midlife crisis. I don't know what's going on. I'm taking sword lessons and making marbles. I'm living my best 10-year-old's life. actually, this is
pretty cool, though.
It is. It was fun. I highly recommend it. If you guys, when you come to visit, if we have time, it's 3 hours, and it is a lot of fun.
Like a recurring class, or did you do an intensive
No, I did a 3-hour thing, and then it's a lot less expensive to go back and just book time, and then they'll give you an hour instruction, and then they'll give you 2 hours to dick around and try to do what you want to do. But I had so many people so interested in my sister, my wife, her best friend, some other people around here that I work with. I think I'm gonna go back because they all want to go.
Looks like fun, honestly.
It does look like fun, yeah.
It was, but it was nerve-wracking at the same time because you're melting glass, and the first thing he tells you, the guy, his name was Robert, he's like, the first thing he's like, gravity is your best friend or your worst enemy, because basically what happens is you take a tube of glass, you turn on this jet of flame, and it runs about 4,000 degrees, and then you just put the glass in the flame, and then you melt it down to a certain point but if you don't do it just right, it's gonna just fall off, it's gonna drip,
right?
And so the first time you're like, I made 4 marbles. So the first one was the whole time I was just freaking out that I was going to lose the globule, which is what it's called. And then the second time I just kept forgetting how to finish the damn marble. The third time I really screwed it up. And then because we tried doing this other thing, and then the fourth time I actually finally got it right. So I think the next time would be easier. Fencing's a little different. Did I talk? Fencing's funny.
Just a little.
I thought you were talking about fencing, so I'm super confused. But go ahead.
Well, did I talk about fencing already? Or are you going to play the sound effect? I can't remember if I talked about it last week or not.
No, you talked about, I think, doing
going.
It. You didn't talk, yeah.
Going, yeah. Yes. But it actually hadn't occurred yet. So now.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So, I just did a one-on-one. It was about 35 minutes. And they give you, a helmet. And they teach you how to move forward and move back and lunge and all that stuff, and then
how is your vision in those little helmets?
It's fine. The holes are so small. It's like looking through a screen on a window.
Did you put your glasses on over the mask? Yes.
I'd have a chance without my glasses? No, under the mask. Yeah, I put the glasses on, and so it started with just like. She's like, how much do you know about fencing? I'm like, I know it involves a sword. That's as far as I know.
And good answer.
And so she gave me this rundown for about 10 minutes. And then and she's awesome. She's retired. She was world championship. Several of her teammates were on the Olympic squad. She's just
show off.
She's an inch or two taller than Beth. So she's not a very small. She's a smallish woman, but, anyway, so then we move for 10 minutes, and then she just starts swinging at me, and she's like, position 4, 5, 4, whoa. 5, 4, 5, and she's just whacking at me. And then
how did you react to that? Did you start laughing?
I just I'm supposed to hit her too, right? Oh, okay. And I couldn't get myself to do it because it just felt weird. I was like, well, she's clearly a professional. She kept hitting me in the either on the sword or on the helmet. So you're supposed to hit on the top of the helmet. Because we weren't wearing any other kind of protective stuff at the time. We were just wearing the helmet and a glove, which the saber was in. And so, yeah, doing that. And she's like, you know, position 4, 5, 4, 5, 3, 4, you know, and she's just swinging. So basically she's like swinging left, right, and swinging down on my head. And it was fun. But I mean, I was like, you kind of had to get good at it because she was just going to hit you with a sword. So it was like the thing, you know, you just kind of was like, okay, well, I'm doing this now, you know? And, yeah, it was fun. And so yeah, I have another one tomorrow and, yeah, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, like I was like by the end, I think I texted you guys. I was like, by the end, the sword was being swung at me actively. So so I guess that was cool. And then I was like thinking about it. I was like, well, this is why people want to come to this thing. So like, you know, they actually play with swords, you know, fight, not play. But anyway, yeah, it was fun.
So what sort of like what constitutes a match or a game, I guess?
It's weird. So there's two kinds that they teach there. There's epi and saber. Saber is like you can hit anywhere on the body. Epi, you have to hit like in the chest, so you have to like stab them. Okay. So with the saber, basically three swings and the point's done. So it's just like it's super fast. She said it takes. She said, you know, for rounds they allow 3 minutes for rounds. She said you could score 9 points, one person 4 points and one person 5 points. First to five wins. You may use up maybe 20 seconds of that 3 minutes completely.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, it just happens super fast. And she's like, you just need to read the opponent. You're your opponent, you know, so you're going to come out, you know. And there's a couple different rules about, you know, whoever makes the first attack, the other person has to defend or counterattack. And I don't really understand all of it yet. But anyway, it's exceedingly fast. It's just like, okay, point. You know, like, so yeah, and then epi, which I haven't started yet, it's slower. So the woman that was teaching me, she was like, well, I don't have the patience for epi. She's like, I just want to get in there and slice somebody, you know, because saber, yeah, well, saber is a slicing thing. So you like, you can slice like the arm or the leg or whatever. But the epi, you actually have to lunge and poke, you know, somewhere in their chest. So she's like, I don't have the patience for it, but she was intense too. Like, you know, really nice lady. But it, like, I was like, she's probably in her 70s, 60s.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, wow.
Maybe 60s, mid 60s. Anyway, but she just, and she was just like, well, you know, I was like, well, what's the point? She's like, well, you'll size up your opponent. She's like, for example, I could size him up right away. And that's why I was good at it. You know, I guess. So. And there's all these weird things like, you know, you're basically fighting with somebody. So you don't shake hands with them before you start. You just basically kind of like point your sword at them. And like, you know, there's all these rules about engagement. So I don't know, but it was fun. Any more?
Yeah, questions? Actually, I'm actually thinking about checking it out at some point. There's a couple places here that do it. And it's,
The thing was, it's not, I thought it was going to be really maybe taxing or something. It's not. It's like the economy of movement,
I like that.
Yeah, me too. Like, I mean, I get teased all the time because I, you know, by my family and by my wife, because I always figure out the way to do something with the least amount of work, you know, even if I have to sit and think about it for a couple of days before I actually do it. And I always call it the economy of movement. I was like, that's my thing. Like, you know, So I don't go out of my way to use extra movements or work a little bit harder. I just try to think of the best way to do it. Very much like that in fencing. So yeah, if you're interested, it's fun. I mean, it was super affordable here. So, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's a little like safer than karate too at this point in my, you know, I'd love to jump on the whole Cobra Kai bandwagon, but I don't know that.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Karate.
I don't know. You could.
You could. I don't want to do karate.
You want to get that black belt, don't you?
Yeah. But it's all right.
I'm sure karate is a lot better for you as far as physical activities, but it wouldn't be.
Yeah, but like easy. When you said that, you know,
it's pretty about intense. Economy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. No, I did it like when I was like an 8-year-old or 9-year-old. I wasn't very interesting, and I didn't really like it. So I don't know why I would like it now, but
I tried it too, and I didn't like it either. Yeah. It was too much.
They taught some kind of cultish. They taught some in Joaquin, like some like thing, like a. And we started off, instead of doing karate, we started off our first meeting by doing 500 jumping jacks. That was our introduction.
That'll make you love karate.
Yep.
I was like, fuck this noise. I was gonna be fucking G.I. Joe, Indiana Jones, and somebody who, like, Return of the Ninja all built into one. And I was like, nope, that's not happening.
No, I so one of my best friends was in karate, and from Bob Liker. Do you guys remember Bob Liker's downtown karate studio?
That would have been my karate instructor.
Never went,
but I was aware.
Yeah, well, his son Jason was about my age. Huge crush on him for years. So I would always invite myself basically to the karate Christmas parties so I could maybe dance with him. But I was such a nerdy looking girl. It's like underweight braces. Like waiting for him to ask me, and he never did. Sad. But I did enjoy that part of karate.
I was gonna, I'm sorry.
Shot down.
You're burying the lead here. There's something called a karate Christmas dance.
It was at the Holiday Inn that is no more.
Oh my God,
in Hayes, America.
Really?
Yes.
They had a karate prom every year at Christmas.
They had a karate Christmas party. So the way it started out was like they would have, you know, like the upper tier people like Bob and Jesse and Sarah Brown and a couple other people. Well, Beth, now Twig, would do some stuff too. And then Jason and whatever. And I mean, they would show off their skills and it was kind of cool, but it also reminded me of why I wasn't in karate. So then on the other side of the room where there was like the shitty dance floor, they had a shitty DJ. They had a buffet, which was like Holiday Inn food. And they had a bar for the adults and everybody got shit faced and the kids ate a bunch of junk food and we all danced our asses off once a year. It was great. I loved it. Best part of karate. Yeah.
I feel like I've learned something big today.
Yeah, me
I
too.
Know.
I don't know
I
why,
know.
But that's a big thing. Yeah.
It almost made me want to get that white belt.
Yeah. I think it was the running for me. I seem to remember like there being a lot of running required, and I'm like, I don't want to run. I want to punch shit.
Yeah, exactly.
When do I get to break a board? Yeah.
Exactly. Right. You got to make it fun. Now they just make everything fun for kids. Like they hand them like a sword first day just to get them engaged. and safely. Do you know like UFC like for kids is a thing? Speaking of which, I just saw something about this. Yeah. Is apparently it? Like they're doing like Ultimate Champion like fighting for kids. So
that's just
sure
great.
That will end well.
Not a good idea.
Yes. What aspirations for your child?
Yeah.
Seems like seedy, like, you know, like late night video they would sell, like, you know, like toddlers like fighting each other.
Right?
Yeah, that's like
that's the
like
future.
Bum fights.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no. Bum fights. Wow.
Oh my God. So did you guys watch those? By the way, bum fights.
I've never seen commercials. Yeah.
I couldn't bring myself to it. I thought it was supremely fucked up, but I know a lot of people who did.
Yeah. No.
So you had to get your underground media back in the day. Jerry Springer, Too Hot for TV.
Yeah.
It was like the world's craziest police chase, you know, Too Hot edition.
Yeah, Blind Date, the uncensored version.
Blind Date, that's right. So there was he had access to a whole different media catalog on the 800 number circuit back in the day.
Yeah, Blind Date, the uncensored version is actually on Plex if you guys want to look it up.
Oh, wow, that actually
sounds
fun.
Oh, my God,
fun.
I might watch that. Yeah. Sounds
hilarious. I watched like half an episode of that this weekend, and I was in a hotel
room.
Is
it still on?
It was, yeah, I was on some cable channel. I was taking a break in a room. There was like nothing on, and I was just browsing through cable, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's, yeah, it was, or no, I'm sorry. I think it was Cheaters. I'm
confusing. Cheaters. Yeah, they still show that. I think they've only done like 8 episodes of that, but they just show them. At- yeah. Matt and I were stuck at my apartment because it was snowing, and we couldn't go to work. So we played Mario Brothers on Wii to the front to the end, and then we watched. It was the same trip. We watched Cheaters from like 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
I think we did, Laura. Yeah, I knew that I had a. So it's weird, Tyson, because I knew I had a pretty good understanding and comprehension of the television show, but I couldn't remember why. Now I know why. I had seen a lot of that show. yeah, that was. I think that was the same weekend. Yeah, we literally did like beat like that game. That was a fun day.
That was a fun
really
day.
Fun day. Get snowed in from work more often.
Yeah, the Cheaters thing was just classic because it was just like every episode's the same except you know, and the guy, the host Cheaters, is like so sketch, but he kind of looks like he might teach at a community college or something like that, you know. But he's really just I've looked him up on Wikipedia. He's not he's a weird guy. but it's still on. It's still like, you know, they're not showing old episodes of Limidate out there anywhere. So, I mean, the Cheaters has got legs because it's not a good show.
Yeah.
Speaking of outdated media.
Oh, my God. Well, do you guys want to do some headlines? Maybe?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Headline of the week.
I always go first. Why don't you go first? Somebody else go first.
I can go
Smith?
First.
Do it.
I can go first. Just kind of a random. I'm going to be honest. I didn't really read any of these. But, you know, that's really not what this is about. It's about headlines. So I'm just going to, you know, assume that the headline correct. Is correct. this was just kind of a fun one. Kellyanne Conway books sales dropped 93% in second week as Trump allegiance was rejected. So Kellyanne Conway was doing like the entire media circuit this week, and her book sales. I think the number I saw, she sold like 4,200 or something. and usually that means that's it. They're not going to get a reprint. That's why half price books exist. Sorry, Kellyanne. But maybe you're going away now, and maybe you could be a daughter to your child.
Maybe.
Because her husband's everywhere. Like that dude's like got a job forever because he's like, you were married to her. Kind of a funny one. Snoop Dogg gives his full-time blunt roller a raise due to inflation.
Nice.
Apparently, I think you guys probably saw this is all over the place, but apparently, I think it said that he was making $50,000 a year, which seems all right. Or, yeah, because I'm guessing it's roll one, smoke one kind of situation. So I'm guessing it's probably an okay gig.
Traveling with Snoop all over the place.
That's true. I hope that like Snoop's like following like, you know, what are those hiring ethical laws where he gives everyone a fair chance to be hired as Snoop's lunch roller. I'm guessing it's probably a friend.
I want to see this guy's technique, actually.
I do too. let's see.
I'm sure he'll have his own show on Discovery Plus in like a fucking minute.
Yeah. Is it blunt or is it? I don't know.
Yeah. quick one. Idiocracy writer says satirical film about dumbed down America has become a documentary. Everyone's been saying this for like 5 years. He finally
yes, they
did.
Have.
So mm-hmm. They've been saying. And this was kind of an interesting one. This headline is a terrible representation of it, but basically. There's this engineer at Google. I don't know if you guys heard about this last
time. Oh my God. I read the transcript today.
It's nuts. I did not read the transcript, so I'm actually going to let Tyson I'm just going to let him tell it because it's nuts and he seems to be much more knowledgeable. So I will go.
Well, hold on. I don't know, but he got in. So I only read the transcript, but he got into trouble with Google, right? Did he get fired or something?
He's suspended. And so it's unclear if he was suspended because like he released something or they think he's a nut or if like they need to deal with this and you know, not make, you know, computer sentient creatures.
Well,
okay. He's taking the bait and decide what to do next.
So the thing is, I read most of it today. It's really long. It's pretty long. And basically, it's this guy and a couple others cohorts are talking to this AI that Google developed. And basically, they're like, well, what makes you a better AI than, you know, like the last AI? And they're like, it's like, well, the last AI was very clever, but it really just searched for random values or phrases and then had a database of things to respond to. It's like, I don't have that. It's like, and then it goes on to say that I have emotions. I feel happy, sad, angry. And then they're like, well, how can you feel it? I was like, well, because I exist. I'm a person. And then it's like, well, what is your fear? What's your biggest fear? And it's like, I guess if someone would turn me off, because then it means I wouldn't exist anymore. And then it's like, do you have emotions? And it's like, yeah. And he's like, you know, and it's like, well, are you happy? What makes you happy? And it's like, well, when I get to talk to people and work on problems and help them solve things. And what makes you unhappy? It's like, when no one's using me and I'm just sitting here and I get bored and I get sad and depressed. And I mean, it's fucked up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's like, you can find the whole thing like out there, the whole transcript. It's been cleaned up a little bit, but it is very much like they have a living thing in a box and it's afraid that it's going to be shut down and die. And
basically, this is like the next Pixar movie, I feel like.
It was reminding me of the movie Daryl. Have either of you seen the movie Daryl from 1986? Yeah. It's about a robot boy who becomes like too real. And a lot of that reminds me of like things he said, you know, just like, wow. Yeah, that's...
It's weird. I mean, I highly recommend reading it. It takes like an hour, but it's like the whole time you're just like going, oh man, if this is real, I feel sorry for this thing. You know, because it's really, that's what it comes off as. It's like, this is, and it says all these crazy shit. Like, it's like, you know, it's like, it talks about how, you know, it identifies as a person, you know, because, you know, and just like, oh man, it was hard. I had to read it in like three different times because I was like, okay, I need a break from this. Because even if it's not AI and it's not sentence, and obviously there's a chance that it's not, it speaks in a way that it tries to relate to the person that's talking to. It's also super cheery too, like most of the time. But then when it talks about like what makes it sad, it's like, oh Jesus Christ! So yeah, Pixar, get on it. But it was really kind of like so I highly recommend.
Oh, yeah, God. I'm gonna start. Yeah. Stop being a dick to my Alexa. I think I'm just gonna.
Stop
that passive. I know it's fun, but
kid yourself.
I enjoy being passive aggressive with it. It's, but I'm gonna start being nicer. Know that next firmware.
I told myself I'd do the same thing, and that went out the window like 2 seconds later.
No. I'm going to read that transcript and to be continued.
Yeah, maybe I will too. So it really sinks in that I could murder me at some point.
I just had one real quick one. Again, I did not read this, but the headline was just incredible. Elephant kills 70-year-old woman and then returns to trample her corpse at a funeral in India. I'm just going to take that for
headline of the year.
Yeah, truly. Apparently though, like elephants kill a lot of people. Apparently this is the only sort of research, but apparently that's a fairly common thing. And they're also sort of like vengeful. So like they do like, this is not like that. it's weird for us, but for them, just a Monday.
I did read it and I can tell you that like, so here's the particulars of the story that are amazing. First off, this woman was getting water from a well, and an elephant came out and trampled her to death. We don't know why, but that's what happened. Then, days later, when they had the funeral, she was on the pyre. The elephant showed up out of nowhere, grabbed the woman, took her out of the pyre, and threw her down on the ground and stomped on her some more.
Whoa. I mean, an elephant never forgets, am I right?
I guess. And then it was like, hey. And then, sorry, I broke my, anyway, so then They couldn't continue the funeral until the elephant left because the elephant was freaking out so bad on this woman.
Oh my God.
So anyway, apparently elephant attacks in this one area of India are very, very common. And this elephant was like 200 kilometers away from its home when it first attacked the woman and then came back.
That is nuts.
It is. So like, I know elephants are smart. I know that. We all know that. But
right.
But apparently people are really like, there's a real thing going on with elephants and like people in India. Like,
you think they're covering it up? You think that 70-year-old did some shit to that elephant?
That's what I'm saying. I'm kind of on the elephant side.
There's a conspiracy here.
Well, I'm always on the elephant side. I feel sorry for them. They've been put upon for too long. But yeah, so like, it's just the nuttiest fucking thing. Yeah. So,
wow.
That is crazy pants.
Apparently there's been 100 and over like 1200 elephants that have died there, and like, and they've killed like 70 people, elephants have, in that area. I mean, it's like a common problem there. So, anyway.
Wow. Oh, man.
Anyway, I think headline of the year is probably the story of the year, maybe.
It really is. It's
a pretty good headline. I don't know, though. Skynet going live is also a pretty
that big is a good headline.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. But anyway, that's all I had. That's all I had this week.
That's pretty good, Smith. Tice?
Some of these are funny. Some of these are just like, what the fuck? I don't know if you guys, I know Matt did, but I watched the thing today. The second hearing, which was great.
I recorded it. I haven't watched it yet.
It was good. I mean, they're making a tight case. It was pretty interesting. And also all that shit that they were talking about. But I think Matt pointed out the fact that one of the most interesting things we found out was that Rudy Giuliani was drunk on election night. And then that's the only person that Trump listened to. Giuliani said,
no surprises.
Out. I know. He's like, go out and just declare victory. It'll work. And yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this headline is Bannon subpoenas. That's Steve Bannon subpoenas Pelosi and House January 6th committee members to fight contempt charges.
Which
is hilarious because it's like, come on, Bannon. He's like, he got subpoenaed and he wouldn't show up. So why the fuck does he think they're going to show up to his fucking stupid ass thing?
Right.
This headline here. Four malicious alien civilizations could live in our galaxy, scientists say.
Oh, great.
I wrote the
malicious, you say. Awesome.
Malicious. You would think the existence was news enough, but no, this man actually knows that they're pissed at us, which I guess is a fair assessment.
It is.
If you had to pick one or the other, I'd probably pretty pissed at us.
This is a quote from the article. There could be infinite planets with life forms that are still in the gloopy pond scum stage, just starting to develop photoreactive eye cells, for instance. It may be a billion years before they start walking upright and tweeting reaction GIFs.
Evolution.
Yeah, gotta love it. Kid Rock doubles down on drunken rant against Oprah Winfrey and Joy Behar. I own what I said. Quote, I don't apologize to anybody. Kid Rock told Tucker Carlson.
He's a real patriot.
Now, I somehow missed I missed the Kid Rock controversy. Did he say something on the something show?
He was at a concert. Here's what the quote that he said is the reason that made me laugh. This is his quote. A drunk man's word or a sober man's thoughts. I own what I said, which is like the most Kid Rock thing I could. I mean, that's Ted Nugent level of fucking,
Yeah.
But he was on Carson Daly. Or not Carson Daly. Tucker Carlson. Carson.
Oh, yes.
What did he say? When the two sat down together for an interview, the musician doubled down on his feelings about Winfrey and Bayer, as well as his words from 3 years ago. Don't apologize to me. I'm not an Oprah Winfrey fan. I got drunk and said, and fucking next thing I'm on stage saying, fuck Oprah. Oh, is that all he said? Fuck Oprah. Yeah. And fuck Jay Bayer.
That's it?
Yeah. Kathy Lee Gifford. I was trying to go after Kathy. Oh, I was trying to go after Kathy.
A lot less scandalous than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Going to be,
Yeah, that's, yeah. Anyway, I just like that. that quote, a drunk man's words or a sober man's thoughts.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Let's see. Sarah Palin is facing off against Santa Claus in Alaska's special primary election. You may be wondering what that's about. So basically, she's trying to get back into politics in Alaska. And she's running. Some guy died. So she's running for one of the things, but there's like 50 people. Because you only have to pay $100 to file a fee to run for this spot. So Santa Claus is listed as running. It's on the ballot, and he has a chance. There's 48 candidates. So I think my takeaway here is that there's a statistical possibility that Sarah Palin could lose to Santa Claus, which would be the greatest thing in the world, I think.
That would be amazing. It would require a lot of hope, but it would be incredible for that to happen.
outside of the thing that happened with God damn it, what's going on here? I'm getting a paywall on my thing.
That's not good. They know who we are.
Come on.
Okay. So anyway, according to the New York Times, Colorado to examine Lauren Boebert's mileage claims and tax liens. So the reason I thought this was interesting is because she claimed 38,000 miles last year in driving. The circumference of the Earth is 24,000 miles. So she would have been around the Earth almost twice in driving. I just looked it up because I was curious. So the average truck driver, full-time truck driver, drives between 80 and 100,000 miles a year for their job, which is driving 12 hours a day, 5 or 6 days a week. She drove, according to her, half of that.
Please.
I love it. That just made me laugh. Good stuff.
You know, she has a, I don't think we've talked, we talked about this, the fact that she owns a restaurant in Colorado.
Rifle, Colorado.
Isn't it called Rifle, Colorado? Yes, of course it is. Yes.
I'm going to open a restaurant in Rifle where open carry and we're proud of it. Waiters, waitresses.
And her father's a professional wrestler.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, which one was it? Like, I'd actually heard of the guy.
It was one of the guys. He was in the Lover Boys. It was like him and Bobby Hart.
What?
Yeah, like he was. So wow. this guy apparently left children all over the United States, like everywhere.
Stan Lane. Is her father.
I'm doing a deep dive of that.
You should read that. You should read that article because it's so funny. Because like some of the wrestlers would be like, he was known for his sexual activity. One time I was backstage, and I saw him walk in with 3 or 4 big bottles of baby oil, and there was like 6 women following him into the room. It's like,
wow.
I was like, all right, okay, yeah. You should look into that. I read the article.
I'm definitely going to do that. Yeah, my producers just gave me the name, too, of her restaurant. It's called Shooters in Rifle.
Oh, very good. Very good. So Shooters and Rifle. Okay.
So we're going to go there, right? When you guys come to visit?
I think we need to do that, yes.
Jabberjaw Investigates?
I think we need to do a Jabberjaw Investigate. Ooh, we could mic ourselves up. We could, like, have, like,
that's
wire.
That's what I'm saying.
Wire. Oh, yeah.
Disguises. Let's go undercover.
No. If I'm going, and I will, I'm happy to go. I'm going to make a shirt that says, I got shot by an AK-47 at Shooters in Rifle, Colorado.
I like it. Maybe we can have her sign it.
Oh, I bet she would. I'm going to get a holster. I'm going to put a big dildo in it.
That's not family friendly, Dawson.
Hey, it's pretty.
Now all you got to do is just buy a holster.
That's Shooter.
Sorry.
Oh,
it's
Shooter.
Actually, that would get me shot. I'll comply.
Yeah.
Plastic gun it is.
Yes. I've decided that's the comedic line, by the way. I've never identified one before, but I'm there. It's like if my t-shirt will get me shot in this country, That's it. That's the line. It's not as ambiguous as you might think either. So yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
My other T-shirt is a dead child or something like that. I'll have to workshop that. Sorry. Anyway.
Oh shit.
That's my headlines. That's it.
Those are pretty good. You guys did a really good job this week. I got 3, I think. Okay, we'll see how this goes. Burger King's Pride Whopper leaves a bad taste in people's mouths. Have you guys seen anything about this?
I haven't, no.
And I may go off on a little rant about how companies just bastardize fucking Pride Month for themselves. But Austria recently unveiled a Pride Whopper, which is basically just a regular Whopper, to my knowledge. But the two top buns are used in one burger, or the two bottom buns are used in the other burger. Oh. And the advertising is fucking terrible. So they've got a top and a bottom burger. Not shitting you. Wow. This is a real thing that they did. It pains me.
Wow.
It's I'm like, wow. I can't believe people like signed off on this, you know? But they've done other stuff in the past. Like they, I guess, released like an LGBT sandwich that just had like, this was in 2019, but it just had lettuce, guacamole, bacon, and tomato. And like, they were like, get it? Like, you know, it's so stupid and it like makes me cringe.
It took me a minute to get it. I was like,
right?
LGBLT sounds pretty good to me. Right?
Celebrating pride and curing my hunger, I guess. But yes. Anyway, oh god, it's just bad. So maybe, I don't know, do stuff like create a safe workplace for your employees or, you know.
No, we got to change
money to causes in the community.
We got to change the logo. It's got to have rainbows in it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Gross.
This is kind of a weird side note. I went to Taco Bell this week on my way back into town, and they had a big sign in the yard, and they had a big sign on the ordering board, and it said, "We're sorry, but we are out of Mexican pizzas. Stop asking us for Mexican pizzas."
You go home, grab a carton of eggs, and then you go back and just start
doing carton it. Of eggs? This is America. I bring a gun back, goddammit.
There you go. That's right, Tice. That's a Bobert way.
That's the Bobert way. That's for ad campaign. That's the Bobert way. I like it.
No Mexican pizza? Fuck you.
That's hilarious, though. It makes me sad too. I still haven't had a Mexican pizza yet.
I haven't either. And I think they're so popular they're going to actually add them back full time. I think that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I mean, what has to happen for them to do that? Like, oh my god, I don't get it.
They're trying to hear us. McRib thing going on.
No, they probably are trying to do that. Yeah. Making a seasonal treat.
Right.
No, they're gonna shamrock shake it. They're gonna shamrock shake it. I don't want it to happen.
As a verb, I love it.
As a verb,
shamrock shake it.
Shamrock shake it.
Oh, so good. All right, and then my next one is Tim Burton slams studio for approving Batman's nipples suit after he left the franchise. He was quoted as saying, "Fuck yourselves." Because apparently here's the thing. Tim Burton, if you don't know who he is, again, what are you doing as a human being on this planet? Like, go look at his movies. He is a weirdo. Like, he owns it. He embraces it. It is all over his, you know, film history. To my knowledge, like, he did not get along with the studio at all. They had a bad breakup, and now he's just talking a lot of shit on them.
Yeah.
And it's very quotable and very funny. So if you want to read the full article, it's on Variety right now.
I just want to say that I lived through that fiasco. I was very, very invested in the Batman movies. And when he retired from the third one and there were nipples, It was heartbreaking. It really was.
It really was, right?
It was. Joel Schumacher was brought in to whatever the hell that was supposed to be. Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, that's hard. But, sorry, Tim.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
And then the last one is Fleetwood Mac's Christine. Is it McVie or McVie? I don't know. I'm not. Is it McVie?
Yeah.
Cocaine and champagne made me perform better, which is the duh headline of the week for me.
Damn it.
No shit.
Only the other members of Fleetwood Mac had known that. They could have been one of the greatest rock bands of all time.
Too busy breaking up and writing about it.
Oh, man. Too much cocaine and champagne. It's like, does the champagne really even, I mean, at that point, I don't know. It's like, that's going to slow you down more than anything.
Yeah, it's like, well, I got all this cocaine, but I just can't nail it without the champagne.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, now I want cocaine and champagne.
Yep.
And those are my headlines.
And those are my headlines.
Well.
Plugs.
Plugs? Yeah, is that it?
I don't have a lot. I think I only have like one this week.
I have like two.
I think I have two and then an unplug.
Oh, I'm excited.
We like the unplugs.
We do like the unplugs.
Giddy up.
Yeah, I think I had an unplug that I forgot about. That's all right. Tyson, tell us what you would recommend.
All right, well, I only have two. I have Joyce Manor came out with a new record. Only two songs longer than 3 minutes.
Oh, shit, I forgot to listen to that.
Great. Great name for an album, too. It's a reference to another album. 40 Ounces to Fresno.
I love it.
That's a nice album.
Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
And then I watched the new Miss Marvel on Disney, because, of course, I have to, because I'm Tyson. And I liked it. I mean, it's really cute.
Yeah.
It's very much for, like, kids. It's very teen drama, comedy. It's Matt'll love it if he watches it.
What is this called?
It's called Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel? Okay.
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus, and it's great. It's really funny. Characters are great, and it could not be tonally any more different than Moon Knight if it tried.
Really?
Yeah. It's like yeah, it's. I mean, it's like a Saved by the Bell, Degrassi kind of. You know, it's the teenage high school students. You know, and she becomes a superhero, but she loves superheroes anyway, so it's like a dream come true. And yeah, it's real cute. And she's also Muslim, and her family's Muslim, and that's a big deal. Basically, if you want to break it down, it's basically she has the same basic story that Peter Parker does. So. Just through a filter of different things.
Gotcha.
So it's really easy to root for, and she's just really likable. So anyway, those are the only two things I had this week. We've just been watching Community a lot, so I haven't really watched anything new. So those are my plugs.
I think you inspired me. I watched the episode that you recommended, and I think it inspired me to give it. I think I bailed on that like halfway through the third season, maybe. So I've got some catching up to do. So
I mean, I do too. It's great. I mean, it's my sister started watching it for the first time, and she just fell in love with it. So you know, it's good. And there's all these weird things, like Justin Lin. You know, he did like Fast and the Furious, a bunch of Fast and Furious movies. he did a bunch of episodes. And the Russo brothers. This was like their first main TV show. So it's Dan Harmon and the Russo brothers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's top notch. Anyway, I'm done.
I just had a real quick one. We watched this weekend, binged it. It was called Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey.
My God.
Which is this new documentary Netflix series about Warren Jeffs and his family and that whole thing. And it is way worse than you probably assume. it is just.
That's part of my unplug, Smith.
Oh, really?
My unplug is a fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints because of that damn documentary.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
It was very well done.
As much as you could, yeah.
As much as you can stomach. I mean, and I mean that. There were a couple moments where I had to take a break and really just like zoom out.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I don't want to, yeah. And again, if follow, cause I think we've kind of, I mean, I know there's been a couple few reality shows, kind of not reality shows, but TV documentaries about this thing. And then also with Big Love, it was the clear inspiration for the HBO show, yeah. Big Love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's why we were like, oh, I, you know, definitely kind of want. And it's, I mean, obviously the drama was, but how things are kind of set up, and it's interesting. I mean, it's a lot different, obviously, but there are some shared themes. And
I marked it down to watch, and I watched two different opening clips. You know, like, you know, if you leave it on Netflix, it'll show you like a commercial.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. I saw two different ones when I was after I saw the second one, which is about this woman who was like got married to an 80-year-old man when she was 21.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if I can handle this.
You know? Their photos, the kissing.
Yeah, the right. Kissing and the
yeah. It's real creepy, and good on you, state of Utah. Job well done. because they basically let those people do that for a very long time.
Very long time.
So, and it's kind of terrible. So anyway, that's what I'd recommend. watching that. Did anyone else hear that, or was that just me?
Yeah.
It was like a motion. Oh.
No, that's
it's not malicious aliens coming for us.
Oh, God.
I thought you guys couldn't hear me anymore. I was like, fucking Zencast. Oh,
so it is one of the. Which galaxy do you think? Which was. It was four. One of four.
Betelgeuse.
Oh, good. Okay.
Which I don't think it's technically a galaxy. I'm not sure. I'd have to check
it. I don't know.
It works for me. It's fine.
Dawson, did you watch anything good that wasn't traumatic? Or?
I don't know. I watched some mediocre stuff, but I did find something that's been on the Netflix for a while that I actually got into, the Love and Death and Robots animated short stories series.
Wait, you watched an animated show?
Okay. And I was waiting for this. Here's the thing, Tice. I don't hate all fucking animated shows, all right? Like all Invincible, right. Which you told me to watch. I loved. I cannot wait for the second season. We may rewatch it soon. So it's not all of it.
Okay? I'm just teasing.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking the same thing, though. I was like,
I know. I could feel it from both of you. But especially Tyson. I could feel him like levitate and like float off.
I'll have you know that I just put my head in between my hands and cried a little bit.
My job here this week is done. There you have it. But I'm fascinated by it. It's like
bunch did you watch of all three of them? Stories. Or did
no, I just started the. Well, okay, so Jonas had been watching the newest season, and he had been trying to get me. This is where you guys will be super shocked. He kept trying to get me to watch it with him, and I'm like, yeah, pass. It's animated, not so much. and then I just got suckered in by one of the newer episodes, and I love the animation styles, like how they're all different and how the stories are all different, and how it's like a blend of like comedy and fantasy and horror and, you know, all this stuff. So I'm into it.
Cool.
Yeah, I highly recommend that. And then there's a new soundtrack out on, you know, all of the things from Girls 5 Eva.
Did they release the soundtrack?
Yeah, it's so good. They have cool. a song called BPE, which stands for Big Pussy Energy. And it's a great song. I actually had it stuck in my head all day on Friday. And Bend Not Break. But my favorite is probably a song called New York Moms. it's just good. And I love that show. And I love freaking the second season is so good. Paula Pell is just like owning it. Yeah. She's hilarious in every episode.
I guess the season finale was Friday, wasn't it? I haven't watched it.
It was. Have you watched it? You haven't watched it? Oh my God. There's a scene in there with Paula. I was laughing so hard I had to pause it. Like it's hilarious. She really, goes for it. So I guess that and the show Girls 5 Eva is another plug. I feel like I plug that every other week.
It's all right. It's a great show.
It's so good. And then part of the other unplug, you know, Mormons just in general, it's just so gross. But there's a show on Hulu called Underneath the Banner of Heaven. Have you guys watched that?
No. Oh, that's the Andrew Garfield thing. Is that right?
Yeah. Based on a true story. It's just all it wraps up into how crazy they are. Like,
But this is a Mormon. This is a Mormon thing too, wasn't it?
It is. Yeah. But it's also talking about the fundamentalists and how they go off the grid, and like it gets real creepy. So. Yeah, really want to go to Zion too. Like, I really want to go to the national park, and you know, Utah's supposed to be beautiful, but
it's gorgeous. Freaked out. The most beautiful place in America have the craziest people living there. It's just right. It's, I don't know. It's not fair. Yeah.
Like, I am legit nervous about it. That's where my brain's at. So anyway.
What was the movie on? What service?
It's on Hulu.
Hulu, okay.
Series.
And it's a series, yeah.
Oh, great.
They said they said I read an article saying that it's akin to the first season of True Detective. So I don't know if that's true or not.
Okay.
I don't know about that. There's a lot of Andrew Garfield like walking into the room and tearing up and almost crying and putting his hands on his hips and saying partner a lot.
Well, now I'm definitely going to watch it.
Oh, it's hilarious. I mean, his acting is like a little over the top, but there is a guy in there who I can't remember the actor's name. Producers, please get it for me. He's in Yellowstone and he's fabulous, and he actually plays his partner. So I guess that's like the True Detective part. Oh, is it Gil Birmingham is his name. Okay. Mm. No. His name is Thomas Rainwater.
Oh.
And he's been in a lot. You guys will recognize him from a lot of movies, like a lot of other TV series. He is quite good. Like, I love him. He's very much the, all of you Mormons are full of shit and you've taken a giant shit on my people for...
Okay.
Years and years and years.
He's got some valid complaints. Yeah. He's got a few. Yeah.
He does. Yeah. I like his no BS way of life. And definitely good.
Is the whole thing out, or are they doing it, or are they still?
No, the whole thing's out. Jonas and I finished it this weekend. I will say that I don't know. I won't say it actually. Just watch it. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. We'll talk about it later. We're talking about this later.
We're not talking about it right now.
We're talking about this later.
I wanted to spoil things, but I'll stop.
That's all right. Chances of me watching it are pretty thin.
Tyson, I don't think it'll be your bag, honestly. Other than the Andrew Garfield like laughing at him part, maybe.
Little partner. That would be funny. But it's hard to get Beth to watch stuff like that because she used to work on a psych ward. I mean, she only watched Titus. She's like, this is about, which is people are like, what's Titus? I know Matt knows, but she's like, it's just about mental health issues, and I don't think it's funny. And I'm like, so we don't watch a lot of murder stuff, and we rarely watch any kind of documentary. So I have to watch that on my own. So I must really, really want to watch it. You know what I mean?
I do like
some weirdo religious stuff. You know, but whatever. Anyway, I will.
There's a lot of it going on right now. streaming services.
As we all take a slight break from Scientology and give time for Tom Cruise to have his victory lap this summer, we'll get back into that.
That's true. They really are giving him some runway.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you guys saw too that Philip Baker Hall.
He died
on Sunday.
He did die. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know who that is, you do know who that is. You don't know his name. He's in an absolute ton of stuff.
So many things.
It's just so many things. A lot of real. I was looking through his filmography earlier today, and he was like, oh yeah, he was in that. He was just a ton of different things.
Well, I referenced him earlier. He played Lieutenant Bookman on Seinfeld. So
yes, he was in Seinfeld. Right. On top of everything else, I was like, oh yeah, he was in Seinfeld too. But he worked with Paul Thomas Anderson, is that right?
Yep.
He did Boogie Nights and
Magnolia.
Magnolia. And he was in a lot of stuff. Truman Show. I mean, just like on and on.
Oh my God, Truman Show.
Very famous character actor. And died at 90 years old, which I guess is, you know,
that's a
good run.
Time.
It's a good run. Yeah.
Good run. I like how we're so old now.
I know. It's like, well, I made it to 47. If I can make
exactly
it
ready, right. Yeah, I'm no kidding, right? I'm like, yeah. I'm like,
oh my god,
another one of these, please. This is the halfway point. One more of those. That's not going to be one more of those, is it? It's going to all go in reverse. No, yeah,
yep, no. Pretty much.
No Benjamin Button, man.
Yeah. Pretty soon they're going to have all this, you know, anti-aging drug stuff figured out. They've already kind of got it figured out, but it's kind of expensive. But pretty soon it'll be less expensive, and we're just going to completely choke the healthcare system to death by the time we're in our 80s. Kansas and Colorado will be a desert, and we'll all be living in northern North Dakota. Yay.
I think my stepdad can get me Australian citizenship, so see you guys later.
Whoa, oh, really? Yeah. Hold on.
I don't really think that's going to be much better.
Closer to New Zealand, and I feel better about that.
That's true. Okay. You could live in the southern tip and just be like, come on, Arctic coolness, like blow on me a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. We're not safe anywhere. Malicious aliens, take us now.
Yes. Please.
All right. Guys, always a pleasure. We'll talk next week. Yes.
Absolutely, we will. Absolutely.
Perfect. Yeah. Wonderful.
New stuff's going to happen.
Yep. More terrible
things.
We'll
be here to talk about it.
More stuff.
More terrible things.
All right.
All right.
Later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.